Everyone, thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. You're listening to episode 19 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Dr. Travis M. Dickinson, who is Associate Professor of Philosophy and Christian Apologetics at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Travis has a MA from Biola University in Christian Apologetics and an additional MA from Biola in Philosophy of Religion and Ethics, and he has a PhD in Philosophy from the University of Iowa. In the volume 39, number 4 issue of the Christian Research Journal, Travis has written an article called Doubt as Virtue, How to Doubt and Have Faith Without Exploding. Travis, it's good to have you on.
Well, thanks for having me.
That's a very catchy title for your article. So I just want to ask you straight out, have you ever experienced doubt before?
I have, and I can attest that I did not explode. So I think we're going to be okay. I really have doubted before. And for me, my story is I grew up in a Christian home and was a kid of ministry. My parents were both ministers and in the ministry and sort of multi-generational, in fact, for me. And there just came to be this moment where I was very worried that I had just sort of grown up in a bubble, because I did, and that the bubble that I was within, we weren't taking questions serious enough, and I was really worried that I hadn't addressed these questions deeply enough such that I had good reasons to think that my worldview was true. And this was scary. It was hard. It was difficult, but rather than run from it and embracing it, I came to see that doubting is a really profitable thing, and that's the reason for the article.
So I know that your article covers more intellectual doubt, but there's other kinds of doubt. Like, how does that differ from, for example, emotional doubt?
Yeah. So intellectual doubt is, as I see it and think of it, is this experience that we have where we have a belief, and sometimes it's a belief we don't care all that much about. It could be a mundane sort of belief, but it could be a belief that is cherished, that is, you know, like a belief that, you know, Christianity is true, or Jesus rose from the dead, or that, you know, I've done the necessary things in order to go to heaven. You know, those sorts of beliefs that are just absolutely cherished. It's where we find ourselves, in a battle of ideas, where there are ideas that we are considering, or beliefs or reasons that we're considering that would make trouble for those beliefs. But it could be a very mundane thing. It could just be what time the bus comes at the bus stop. We could begin to have doubts about that, have a sort of intellectual battle of sorts. We won't care that much about it. It won't be that, you know, sort of the more cherished the belief is, the more difficult the experience is. But doubts come all over the place, and we have them all the time. Whereas emotional doubt is this other very specific thing that is, I say in the article that I find myself, inadequate to really address emotional doubt because it doesn't figure into my training as a philosopher at all. Emotional doubt is this experience where, despite having all the reasons in the world, we still can't have confidence in our belief, right? So our intellect is in good shape, but we still have these sort of emotional struggles. So the best sort of example that I can give, I think, is a kind of fear of flying. We may know all the statistics about how safe it is to get on an airplane. We may have even had experiences ourselves. We know people who have flown, and yet we still walk on that airplane if you have this sort of fear of flying or this phobia of flying. and really deeply struggle with it. You don't need more intellectual answers in that case. That has to be addressed on a more emotional level. And there's some folks that I know that struggle with emotional doubt relevant to their Christian faith. It may be, I have a student, in fact, that sees the evil in the world, sees the evil and suffering in the world and sort of the impoverished state that some people live in. And though she knows all the intellectual answers that there are for the problem of evil, still can't get past it. It's still this deep, deep struggle for her. And so I'm really just, I'm not addressing that because I think that's on a different sort of, that's in a different discipline. I'm thinking about intellectual doubt where our ideas are sort of battling, and reason and evidence makes a difference.
Now, you mentioned that you grew up in a Christian environment and you were in the bubble. Did
Yep.
you have a lot of intellectual, evidence presented to you? Was there that intellectual information for you in your bubble and you still were grappling with this?
Yeah, there was actually, because where the bubble almost burst for me was actually in seminary, where I was doing these apologetics and philosophy degrees and getting all this evidence and information. And what my experience was is that, I think what I feared was, are these answers too easy? I mean, they seem really, really plausible, but are they too easy? And I'm not hearing, enough of other voices from other worldviews and what they would say. And I was getting the evidence, but it was sort of like I didn't have it sort of compared to the evidence that another worldview would have, at least right there in front of me. And so I struggled in seminary, but I actually didn't struggle while I was doing my PhD at a place like the University of Iowa, because I came to see that these other folks don't have any better answers. And in fact, most of their answers are way worse than the Christian answer to these sorts of problems.
Your article also asserts that doubt can be a virtue. So
yeah.
How would doubt be a virtue? In other words, how is doubt a good thing?
Yeah, so I don't think of doubt as a good thing in itself. It's not intrinsically good in that sense, but it is good as a means, and it's not pleasurable, it's not fun to go through, but what I want to say is that doubt is good because the sort of embrace of doubt in the investigation because of our doubts sort of necessarily pushes us towards truth, greater reason, and knowledge. And ultimately, what I want to say is a greater faith, because we will have, as we've sort of seen our way clear of the doubts, we'll have a greater faith as a result. And again, that's exactly my story, is that as I began to press into these sorts of doubts and investigate them for myself, my faith only grew. It wasn't so this is good, but only as a means. It's sort of like doing push-ups. No, I don't know anybody. There's probably are some people out there that think push-ups are intrinsically good, but most of us don't. We think these are a kind of necessary evil, to sort of build our muscles or something. So they're good as a means towards, greater strength or greater health. And that's kind of the way doubt is. It's not fun, but it is good as a means towards knowledge and truth.
I would think that in the evangelical church, when I think of doubt, I don't typically think of it as something good. I know in the New Testament, in James, in chapter 1,
yep.
It talks about, the one who's doubting is like being, tossed about by the wind and the sea and so forth. And so
yep.
I think from those kinds of things that we read in Scripture, most evangelicals would say, doubt shows a lack of faith.
Yeah. And it can. So I think of the James 1 passage, which is often used to sort of disparage doubt and encourage folks to avoid doubt. I think we've got to realize the sort of context of James 1. James is telling us to, you know, giving all this practical advice throughout the book, and he's telling us that we should ask God for wisdom when we're in need of that. And he's saying, you know, in effect, that God, he's eminently trustworthy and good, and he will provide. We should therefore ask with confidence, ask without doubts. And that seems exactly right, but what James doesn't tell us is how to get to that place of confidence, right? And so I admit that I would agree that we don't, we shouldn't approach God with doubt, but some of us do have that. And so in order to get to that place of confidence, I guess what I'm really trying to argue for is to say that rather than just sort of talk ourselves out of doubt or try to avoid doubt, we should embrace those doubts that we may have, investigate, push in, and we will come to that place of confidence wherein we will not ask in, you know, with a lack of confidence or doubt. So, but the church definitely sort of widely disparages doubts. They think of it sort of at best as a vice and at worst as a sin, as sinful. And I think this is a terrible thing, terrible state. Because it in some ways stifles our impact on the culture, where we, since we haven't embraced these things, folks just aren't prepared to be out there talking to the culture that does have questions, and they give easy, superficial answers to the questions that their friends or family members or coworkers ask. So it produces this sort of stifled church. But also, you know, look at the millennial generation, the millennials, so-called millennials, and the millennials are folks that ask questions. I love millennials because they're always asking questions. They're a very curious bunch, and they tolerate. It's interesting because all the sort of statistics show us that they actually tolerate nuance better than older generations. So they're okay with gray. Right, and when we try to give them this sort of black and white easy answer and tell them to, you know, just get over it, they leave the church because they're not getting their questions answered.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Dr. Travis M. Dickinson, who has written a feature article for the Volume 39, Number 4 issue of the Christian Research Journal, and it's called Doubt as Virtue, How to Doubt and Have Faith Without Exploding. You'll need to read this article, and so to do so, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. In the article, you give an account of doubt. Can you describe that for us?
Yeah. So the short answer is a doubt. So what I want to do is define doubt. Sort of give an analysis of doubt so that we know what it is and what to do about it. The short answer is a doubt is finding plausible what we take to be a potentially defeating claim. Okay, I'll unpack this some. But it's finding plausible what we take to be a potentially defeating claim. So when we doubt, we are always doubting a belief that we have. So that's the first thing is to say there's some belief, let's call that belief P, the belief that P. Secondly, we are finding another belief, let's call that belief Q. We're finding another belief plausible. We don't yet believe this other thing, but we are finding it plausible. And thirdly, we believe that Q would be a problem for P. That is to say, it would either take away its justification or we should downright just reject P if it turns out to be the case that Q is true. So let me give you an example. This will be the easier way to do it. Let's say that I believe that there exists an all-good, all-powerful God, right? I believe the Christian view that God is all-good and all-powerful. Call that P. Okay, I have that belief. But let's say I'm finding plausible the idea that there's just lots and lots of evil and suffering in the world. You don't have to flip on the TV for about 5 seconds before there's going to be some news report about some terrible, tragic evil or natural disaster or something like that. And I'm finding it plausible that there is just so much evil in the world. And thirdly, I believe that if there's so much evil in the world, then this makes a problem for believing that God is all good and all powerful. So if I'm finding that idea plausible, this puts me into this state of doubt. I'm wondering, how in the world could God be all good and all powerful when there's all this evil and suffering everywhere we look?
You were talking about how in the church, you know, we just don't have a proper view of doubt. But can somebody have faith and also have doubts when you're saying that some people think it's sinful or a vice to have doubts? How can you, you know, believe in God and then be wrestling with these, you know, doubts that you might have, like in the example you just gave about looking out at the fallen world and seeing all this evil and suffering?
Yeah, and that's why I say, by understanding sort of the nature of doubt, what this does is it helps us to understand that, yes, in fact, you can have faith and have doubts. There's nothing mutually exclusive about these things. So, and I can attest to that because right now where I sit, I have, you know, I'm not in that sort of deep struggle of doubts that I have been in the past. But there are some questions that I have that I honestly don't have full-on, you know, knock-down, drag-out answers to. And the problem of evil would probably be one of those for me. I can get myself into sort of a state where I'm really finding that to some degree plausible. Again, it's not to the degree that it's causing me to struggle at this point in time, and that's just because I've deeply wrestled with this issue over a lot of years at this point, but it doesn't in any way tarnish my faith. I'm fully confident that there exists an all good and all powerful God, and yet I've got some questions that I just don't have answers to. So I'd like to sort of relate this to flying on an airplane, as we mentioned before. So I've got some questions about flying on an airplane. If you think about the process of flying on an airplane, it's wondrously amazing that we can get onto a craft made of mostly metal that's weighing, you know, if it's 747, weighs in right around 1,000,000 pounds, and yet we can take off and cruise at 30,000 feet, 6 miles off the planet. And here's the thing is, I don't know how that works, really. I mean, I've got sort of a very layman's understanding of flight. So I've got some questions, and I could be really struggling with those questions to some degree or other. And then once my flight, you know, gets announced, I'm getting on the airplane. I'm going to entrust my life, put my faith in the airplane, even though I don't have all those doubts worked out. I can even be sitting on the airplane, discussing it with somebody next to me while we entrust our lives to the airplane and just have some questions that we're sort of working our way through. So there's no problem of having faith in Christ, having faith in the gospel, having faith in the Bible, while still having a few lingering questions as we go.
I think you definitely have lingering questions if you encountered some severe turbulence, too.
That's right.
You'd be wondering about that when you're flying.
That's right.
So what should a believer do if they're encountering objections to Christianity that's causing them to doubt? I know in maybe witnessing situations, or if you're in a relationship with someone you're trying to witness to, a friend or a neighbor, a coworker, and let's say they say, well, have you even read Richard Dawkins? And you said, okay, well, I'll read that. And then you start reading it, and then you start wondering, and you start thinking, are there answers to this? So how should they approach that?
Yeah. The first thing I would say, because I'm guessing there's some folks out there listening right now that deal with this, that struggle with this, and maybe are in that really tough time of doubting their faith right now. One of the most important things is to get into a community, and don't do this alone, because when we're doing this alone, there's a way in which you just get inside your head too much, and some things that seem really, really difficult when you try to you know, communicate them to others and tell somebody what you're struggling with, even you saying it helps you to sort of, you know, analyze it and think through it some. And a lot of times it's not as bad as you felt like it was when you were alone. But the other thing I want to say is to hang on. Just please hang on, because, look, you probably, the listener out there that's struggling with doubt, you probably have lots of good reasons for believing that Christianity is true. I'm convinced that most Christians are actually quite reasonable, even if they're, you know, when sort of backed into a corner, they can't articulate those reasons very, very well. The reasons are there nonetheless. So hang on, and you can hang on because, again, it's completely rational to have faith, to maintain your faith, even when you have some doubts. But okay, so here we're going to go now. We're going to investigate these doubts. The first thing I want you to ask is whether the doubt is really a problem at the end of the day. So the way when I gave the illustration of a doubt earlier, and I talked about the problem of evil, the way I stated it isn't actually a problem for believing in an all-good, all-powerful God. Just the mere fact that there is evil in the world isn't, at the end of the day, a problem because, you know, again, on the Christian view, it's sort of built into the view that humans are fallen and have done evil things and so on. So I'm going way too quick for the problem of evil, but the point is that the way I stated it, it's not even really a problem. So you want to figure out whether or not the belief is indeed a problem for your Christian faith. The second thing you want to ask is, what reasons do you have for believing the doubt? Here you're going to, in a way, doubt the doubt. And a lot of people have used that turn of phrase, and what I mean by it is to say that you're not going to just write it off. You're not going to just ignore it. You're going to say, okay, what reasons do I have? What evidence is there for believing that this doubt is true such that my Christian belief is false? And you're, in a way, weighing the scales of evidence now. And if it turns out to be the case that you have more reasons to believe your Christian beliefs, then they win and the doubt loses. And so, but, you know, I have to admit, too, that if the doubt is more reasonable, then that should defeat your belief. That's just the way this is going to go. But like I said, we're being led to truth in this, and that's a good thing no matter where we find it.
But by encouraging Christians to embrace their doubts, like you're just explaining, you know, going through that, don't you think that it could cause believers to fall away from their faith? Like you said, that the doubt would win out?
I'm sorry?
That the doubt would, you know, win out, like you would start saying, well, no, maybe Christianity isn't true.
That's a bit scary, and it's scary for me. However, I don't know what the alternative is, because I know too many folks that haven't embraced their doubts, and their doubts sort of keep coming back the more they try to ignore them, and they fall away for that reason too. So I don't think any way we turn here, you know, doesn't have the risk of someone falling away, and I don't want anybody to fall away. Certainly, it would be tragic in my mind if someone did as a result of what I've said. I think the way to think of this is that, you know, for me, I guess I just have to give my experience. And my experience is that I've found so much evidence for the truth of Christianity, and I've had to adjust my views from time to time of what sort of, you know, doctrinal belief or what sort of view I would have related to my Christian belief. I've certainly adjusted it because of, you know, objections and doubts that I've had. However, I've found such evidence, such good reasons to believe Christianity that I'm really not that worried that somebody's going to fall away if they will honestly investigate these things. I had another student that for one of my assignments in my apologetics class was to consider an objection to Christianity, and he's a science guy in his background. He's training to be a pastor now, but he was a science guy, and he wanted to do something related to science, but he was worried that this would throw him into a place of doubt. And I just encouraged him to say, you know, just look into it, see how you go. And he came back to me later. It was involving the fine-tuning of the universe and so on. And he came back later just almost embarrassed that he was worried about this at all, because it was just, the evidence for fine-tuning was just so overwhelming to him, and the sort of ways in which an unbeliever would try to explain those things away are just so not plausible. He came back just, almost, sheepishly saying that, I shouldn't have been worried about it. And that's been exactly my experience time and time again, is that the evidence that the Lord's been so very generous to us in the amounts of evidence and the variety of evidence that he's left for the truth of Christianity.
Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid-fire questions for Travis. So, enchiladas or Texas barbecue brisket?
Texas barbecue brisket, hands down every time.
And if you could spend 1 year in any country, which would you choose?
Any country. That's a good question. Let me say America. The U.S., sorry.
Okay. And what advice would you give your younger self?
My younger self would be to say, get into apologetics and evidence and philosophy much earlier.
And it's an election year, so I have to ask you, if you were elected president, which of your friends would make a good cabinet member?
I think I would definitely have my mom doing something. I'm not sure what, but definitely doing something.
Well, thanks, Travis, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Travis has an article in the Volume 39, Number 4 issue of the Christian Research Journal called Doubt is Virtue, How to Doubt and Have Faith Without Exploding. To read it, subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. Be sure you also tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers all your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. To listen to the live stream of the show, as well as previous broadcasts, go to equip.org, where you can also download our free smartphone app, where you can live stream the Bible Answer Man broadcast, listen to previous broadcasts, and subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. So until our next author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.